How would you define a parable? What do you think a parable is? Webster says that a parable is a short, simple story from which a moral lesson may be drawn. It is usually an allegory, a parable. It says of Jesus that he spoke often in parables. And we're going to look at some of these, and today we're going to begin in Matthew 13, looking at these parables of the kingdom. The Lord Jesus is speaking here to disciples and to others that are gathered around. And we're going to begin reading in Matthew 13 and verse 1. On that day, Jesus went out of the house and was sitting by the sea, and great multitudes gathered to him, so that he got into a boat and sat down, and the whole multitude was standing on the beach. And he spoke many things to them in parables, saying, Behold, the sower went out to sow, and as he sowed, some seeds fell beside the road, and the birds came and ate them up. And others fell upon the rocky places where they did not have much soil, and immediately they sprang up because they had no depth of soil. But when the sun had risen, they were scorched, and because they had no root, they withered away. And others fell among the thorns, and the thorns came up and choked them out. And others fell on the good soil and yielded a crop, some 100-fold, some 60, and some 30. He who has ears, let him hear. And then we'll drop down to verse 18 where he gives the interpretation of this parable. And he says, Hear then the parable of the sower. When anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches away that which has been sown in his heart. This is the one on whom seed was sown beside the road. And the one on whom seed was sown on the rocky places, this is the man who hears the word and immediately receives it with joy. Yet he has no firm root in himself, but is only temporary, and when affliction or persecution arises because of the word, immediately he falls away. And the one on whom the seed was sown among the thorns, this is the man who hears the word, and the worry of the world, the deceitfulness of riches, choke the word, and it becomes unfruitful. And the one on whom seed was sown on the good soil, this is the man who hears the word and understands it, who indeed bears fruit and brings forth some 100-fold, some 60, and some 30. The first parable that he tells is a parable of planting seed. He gives two parables that deal with planting or sowing, and in each of these, Satan's activity is very prominent. And then he gives two parables that deal with two with sowing and two with growing, and then two with buying. We have the parable of the man who buys a field in order to get the treasure, the man who buys the costly pearl, and then the last parable is the parable of the net that's cast into the sea, and it's a parable that deals with separating the final judgment. Now this first parable, the different soils. As we think of the sower, the man who goes out to plant, and here the Lord is using a figure that is very common to them. I'm sure that all of them many times have seen men planting grain. In the fall, they would plant their wheat. Then they would have their spring crops. And they would see a man going through the field, and he would be broadcasting the seed through his hands. Now, we don't often do that today. We use large equipment. But then a man would, after the soil was plowed and prepared, he would walk through it. And he'd have a bag of grain. He would dip his hand into it, and he would scatter it to his fingers. He would just broadcast the seed. This is the figure that he is using here. A man walking through the field, a bag of seed, he's casting it through his fingers. And the Lord says, in this field there are different kinds of soil. All of it is not the same. There's some that is hardened and packed. There's a path running through the field. Some of the seed falls on the path. Then there's some soil that is just a thin layer on top of a layer of rock. And it doesn't do well either because there's no depth of soil. Then he speaks of some soil that would have been good, except that it was infested with weed seed. There were all sorts of weeds, thistles, and so forth, and they sprang up, and they choked out the word, the seed, so that it couldn't flourish. It couldn't do anything. And then he said some of the soil with good soil. It was rich, it was fertile, and the seed as it fell into it germinated, it grew, it had a good root system, and it produced a good crop. Varying degrees in that area, but still, it was all productive. It was fruitful. Who's the sower? Who's the man who goes out to plant? The sower, he says, went out to sow. Well, first of all, I think we can say the Lord Jesus himself was the great sower. He was the great planter. Wherever he went, he was active in proclaiming the word of God. As you think of him described in Matthew 4 and verse 23, it says, Jesus was going about in all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues and proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom, healing every kind of disease and every kind of sickness among the people. So he was teaching, he was proclaiming, he was scattering the seed. Because as he goes on, he describes the seed as the word of the kingdom, the word of the gospel. The kingdom of God being that area where God's authority is acknowledged. When you become a believer, when you accept the authority of God and his word in your life, then you enter that kingdom. Now, it's, as far as we can see it, it's a kingdom of profession because we don't know the heart. Even as in the case here of the soil, some looked good for a while and then didn't really develop into anything. So we don't always know what the end result will be, but at least here we can say that the kingdom pictures those who profess to accept the Lord and to bow to his authority. The sower, then, the man who plants, is Christ primarily, but then also his followers, because they followed in his train. They followed his example. He sent them out to preach the gospel as well. And you remember he told them in Acts chapter 1 to wait until they received power from the Holy Spirit. And then he said, you shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and unto the uttermost parts of the earth. He said, I want you to be witnesses. I want you to be planting this message, to broadcast this message wherever you go. Now, it says of the sower, he went forth. In other words, it took effort, it took a vision, it took planning. If he just stayed in his house and he just said, well, I don't feel like going out today and planting, and if he did this day after day after day, his crop would never have been planted, and there would be no harvest. And this is a word for us today, too. We who know the Lord, and we who know the truth of the gospel, we need to be concerned, we need to have vision, we need to be spreading that truth. There are many people around us that need to hear the good news. So it takes effort, it takes vision, it takes planning, it takes getting up and going out and really presenting this message to others. The word of the gospel, the word of the kingdom, is a message concerning the Savior. 1 Corinthians 15:3-4 tells us very beautifully and very simply what that is. When Paul says, this is the message that you heard, that you received, and that saved you. And this message, he says, is that Christ died for our sins according to the Scripture, that he was buried, that he rose again the third day according to the Scripture, and that he was seen. And it's a message that centers in the Lord Jesus. Christ died for our sins according to the Scripture. It also, of course, in the very nature of it, emphasizes our sinfulness and our need, because people will not turn to the Savior, they will not accept him, unless there's a deep sense of need. So we, in preaching the gospel, then must tell the sinner of his sin and of his need. And there's life in this message. There's life in it just as there's life in a seed. So it's a beautiful picture of the message of the gospel, isn't it? I like what Peter says. When he says in verse 23 of the first chapter of the first epistle, he says, you have been born again, not of seed which is perishable, but imperishable, that is, through the living and abiding word of God. What is the seed that will bring life to your soul? It's the word of God, Peter says. There's life in this message. The Word of God is living, it says in Hebrews 4:12. And so this message, this wonderful gospel message, in its very nature, has life in it just as a seed has life in it. Now, there have to be the right circumstances for that seed to germinate and to produce life. But the life is there, and just waiting to be released. So that the idea of a seed with life in it is a beautiful picture here of the message of the gospel, the word of the gospel, or the word of the kingdom, as he says here. And I believe we can say the two here are really interchangeable. Now, as he speaks, he says the first soil that the seed falls on, maybe as a man starts casting his seed through his fingers, he starts from a path. And some of the seed falls on the path. The path that's been hardened and packed so that the seed has no chance to fall amongst the clods of earth and to germinate. It lies there exposed on top of the soil. And birds come along. They're interested. They're following the sower. And they pick it up. They snatch it up very quickly. And the seed is gone. And Jesus says here, this kind of soil is hardened soil. And the birds picture the evil one who comes and snatches away what has been sown in his heart. And the word never has a chance to penetrate. A picture of a man, I believe, with a heart that's hardened, calloused. He's a worldly man in the sense that the ideas and the experiences of life have hardened him so that his heart is just not sensitive or soft or open to spiritual truth. A hardened path. You know, as we look at these soils, and we're going to be looking at the others in a future time, I wish you would ask yourself the question, what kind of heart do I have? What kind of response do I make to the Word of God? Is my heart like a path that's hardened by sin, hardened by the world, just hardened by living, so that there's no responsiveness? You know, a heart like that needs to be broken up. If that path were ever to bring forth a harvest, it would have to be plowed, it would have to be cultivated, it would have to be worked. Even as we do this in our gardens, before we plant. And your heart is going to have to be torn up. You're going to have to become repentant. You're going to have to see your sin. And you're going to have to be broken before God in order for then this word to be able to penetrate and bring forth a harvest. Why don't you ask God to give you a heart like that?